Greetings. This is Justin Allen, the Elite Nurse Practitioner. Welcome to the Elite Nurse Practitioner Show, a podcast dedicated to nurse practitioner entrepreneurism and achieving financial freedom, where I talk directly with nurse practitioners who need help. Listen up. Our market is saturated. Jobs can be scarce. We are underpaid. We are undervalued. We are taken advantage of by the sharks within the healthcare system, and frankly, screw that, sick of it, and it's time for a change. And listen, I'm here to help make that happen. We are powerful. We can forge a path where we are in control of our career and ultimately our financial and personal well-being. You do not need to submit to healthcare administrators and your doctor overlords. You do not have to take the measly salary. You do not have to work 50 to 60 hours a week. There is a different way, and I'm here to show you that path. This podcast is raw and unfiltered. I have not talked to the nurse practitioners in this podcast prior to the call outside of an email exchange to schedule the episode. What you're about to listen to is a consultation session between a nurse practitioner and myself. It is real, it is unscripted, it is unplanned, and I have no idea what we're going to talk about. Anything and everything can happen during our conversation. The nurse practitioners in these episodes are struggling with an issue in their professional or financial life, and they have reached out to me for help. My goal is to help the nurse practitioner with actionable advice that will enhance and improve their professional, business, and financial life. My other goal is to hopefully help my nurse practitioner sisters and brothers build a more productive, powerful, and free life. So I hope the content and information within these podcast episodes does just that. All right, on to the episode. Hello, everyone. Today, we'll be talking to Nicole, who is a dual certified family and acute care nurse practitioner. Currently, she is working full time in her own practice that she started about a year ago. She offers direct primary care, hormone replacement therapy, weight loss, and aesthetic services in a med spa type setting within the practice. She's needing assistance growing as she has become a slave to her own business and is looking for advice on how to hire another provider and how to grow successfully. Hey, Nicole, how are you?
I'm well. How are you? Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for hopping on here. So tell us a little bit about yourself. You know, how long you been a nurse practitioner for, and what sort of things you've been doing, and, you know, basically how you started your practice.
Yeah, well, my name is Nicole. I am dual certified, as you mentioned. And so primarily my background is in emergency medicine. And then in the height of COVID, I kind of switched over to primary care for a while. Saw our healthcare system full circle that way and decided, well, I think I could probably do this better and I'd like to. So I jumped into, I discovered you through, I don't even know how actually, but I discovered you probably an ad of some sort. And I hyper focused on all of your podcasts and articles. And that was on July 9th of last year, 2022. And I opened our doors on September 14th. So I was really eager to get started. And so since then, we have kind of hit the ground running, and we're coming up on a year, and we have about 500 patients across all services. And I am a slave. I work full time at our business, Monday through Thursday, 8 to 5, seeing patients. And then I fall asleep at my computer, making sure I can run the business as smoothly as I can, which has created a lot of stress. So I want to manage that work life balance like everybody's after. And I know that's kind of the jump start of it all. So I'm ready to bring on another nurse practitioner. We're also going to hire another receptionist at the same time. So I, you know, want to make sure I'm doing that the right way. I'm nervous about it. I know it needs to happen. So I'm just ready to take that next step.
Okay. So say that one more time. You've become a slave to your business.
Oh, yeah. Exactly, yeah. The opposite of what I want.
Right. So this is something that happens a lot to just any business owner. It doesn't matter if you're a nurse practitioner, practice owner, or if you own a sub shop. Like, it doesn't matter. You know, you can easily become a slave to your own business. And the thing is, you know, when you first get started, it's, you know, it just kind of comes with it. Unless you start a business right from the get-go with hiring other people doing the job that you're going to be doing, right? Yeah. So as a nurse practitioner, I think it's, you know, I think we're a little bit more prone to it because we're the ones that actually see the patients. We're the one that prescribe. We're the ones that diagnose, who order labs, right, et cetera, right? Yeah. So So, you know, it's kind of hard for us not to become a slave to our own business, you know, after a year or two, because you're the product, right? You're the, like, I mean, you're the product. Yeah. So So yeah, so you are in a, you know, you're having a good problem right now, right?
Yes. I try to remind myself of that daily. This is a good problem to have.
This is a good problem to have, you know? So, you know, pat yourself on the back, applaud yourself because you're in a good spot. So with that said, what are you, you know, what's your revenue like on a monthly basis right now?
So monthly, we're doing about 71 on average. Obviously, we have some slower months, but we have not made it over 71 okay, in a month yet. So my goal for next year would be to hit that, you know, 90 to 100.
Nice. Okay. So your practice is approaching that $1 million a year business. Almost.
Yeah, I ran the numbers because I knew you would ask me those questions, and we're right at 490 in revenue of this year so far.
I got you. Okay. So the $70,000, this high-end one, has just recently happened just in the last couple of months.
Yeah, that happened in May.
May. Okay.
So since May, we've been trending that way.
Yeah. Okay. And for anyone listening to this, we recorded this in September 2023. So, yeah. Okay. So, you know, within a year, you could be, you know, let's just say a year from today, September 2024, you should probably be at $1 million or close.
Yeah, I hope so. We just started offering some pellets too. And we have a big, there's a bio-T provider nearby who's going to be retiring. So I'm starting to advertise for that. We're doing pellets as well, because there's nobody in our area that does that. I'm in a rural community in a small town. So
very nice. It's
been working out great for me because of that.
Are you going bio-T route, or are you doing it independently?
So I'm reluctant to say that I did go with bio-T, and for a couple of reasons. I thought long and hard about it, but I really wanted the support and the training. And I took the hormone optimization course through you guys, but not the pellet one. And I really wanted to snag all those patients that are adhering to bio-T already uptown. that drive about an hour to get there right now. And so I really wanted to maximize my my chance of snagging all those patients over. And then my contract is 2 years instead of 5. I was able to do that. So I was happy about that. But, you know, their overhead is definitely different than what I would like to be.
Yeah, you're going to be giving up 50%.
Yeah, it's about my price is $650, and for female, I'll pay around $180 to them.
I got you. Okay, so that's not terrible.
It's not as bad. I'm still hitting based on my pricing. I'm still $50 cheaper than what they're paying now in the town further out, and then also I'm still making $111 per month per patient. But it's not. I would like it to be closer to like $125, but I'm still happy that it's above.
Perfect. You're following exactly what I'm teaching. At least $100 a month profit, right?
Yes, yes. And so I didn't sign until I knew all the pricing. And I was like, let me do that. And I mean, this provider, I mean, he's got thousands of patients that drive all the way from everywhere. Nice. They drive past me. And so I'm hoping to snag them all.
Hell yeah. Good for you. All right, cool deal. So you're going to probably experience some significant growth. Have you went and talked to this person yet?
Which person? The upfront, the guy who's retiring?
Correct.
I have an appointment with him on September 28th. So he's actually through bio-T, they assign you a mentor. So he's the closest to me. So he's going to get to know me very quickly.
Perfect. So
records request.
Yeah. Okay, good. So you're going to be able to be like, you know, hey, you're retiring. Listen, you know, we need to talk about how you're, you know, yeah, how
I think he might feel better about it. You know, he's probably like, feels like crap. I'm going to drop the ball on all these people and they're just going to have nowhere to go, or, you know, or at least think so. So I'm hoping he feels good about it.
Sure. I'm sure he will. And you know, you taking over that, I mean, you're taking over a, you know, very, you know, mid six figure, you know, potentially investment here, right? I mean,
yeah.
I mean, this should put you over the $1 million mark, I would imagine.
Yeah, I have like, I had goosebumps about it thinking about it. I was like, wow, how serendipitous is this for me? Like, how lucky did I get?
Yeah.
So I'm thankful for sure.
Yeah. You know, that's business sometimes. You sprinkle some luck on top of it too, right?
Right. Yeah.
I mean, it is what it is. But the thing you got to remember, and what people got to remember, is that luck just didn't happen. You were in the right place at the right time. So you made yourself available to that luck.
Right. I didn't come out of the gate thinking I would do this. And I was very cautious about every service that we added on. I listened, like I said, I follow you to a T, and it's like, give the people what they want. And that's what I've done, and it's worked out.
Yeah, perfect. Good. Okay. So with that said, your profit margins right now, what are you looking at? Like, I mean, how much are you actually taking home?
Like myself.
Yeah, percentage wise. Like, I mean, what's the actual profit of the business? You know, you made $70,000.
Oh, so we've got about, I think it's around 32 or 38. My husband did that for me the other day when we, because I know we had to reschedule and now I forgot. I was like, oh, I'll remember that number. We could do the math real fast. So we've got 490 in revenue for the calendar year so far, and we've got about 160 in the bank. But month to month, I think we're hitting at 32 to 33%.
Yeah, I was gonna say. No, I mean, you know, between a 30% and 40% profit margin is about what you're going to expect. You know,
okay. Yeah. Like, so I remember looking it up and thinking, okay, I'm in, because you know, you had those moments where you're like, I don't know if anything's right or wrong anymore, and you start researching.
Right.
Normal or
yeah.
So, but on a day to day, on a month to month basis, when I look at my P&L, I mean, we're netting about 25 to 32.
Nice. Okay.
And so I've got four staff members as well.
Very nice. Okay. So yeah, I mean, you know, a 30 to 40% profit margin on a business that has a few employees is fantastic compared to other businesses. Like a restaurant has like 3%, 2%, 5% margins. Like, you know, like
I Googled that. It was crazy. And I was at it after I learned that data, I was at a Jimmy John's and I'm thinking, oh my God, there's so many people here. And my sandwich costs $5.
Yeah. The margins are margins at a restaurant are dog shit, to be perfectly honest with you. No. You know, they're awful. Yeah. So that's what I'm saying. Yeah. These practices are super profitable. Okay. All right. Well, anyways, good for you. So that's, you know, that's pretty good. You could probably squeeze out a little bit more there too. And I'm sure you're writing some stuff off through the business as well. And there's some expenses there that could be kind of considered maybe probably part of your net and whatnot. I mean,
I've like moved over all of our cell phones and stuff, of course, for the business. I have a 15-year-old, 13-year-old kids. So like I'm paying them as much as I can with, you know,
right, to clean your practice and whatnot. Right.
Yeah. And, you know, so, make the little gift bags because all of our new weight loss get a bag and things like that. So.
Right. So, you know, your profit margins are probably closer to 40% versus 32% when you factor in all that other stuff, you know?
Right. Yeah. Like,
yeah. I mean, you got to think about some of that too, when you're, you know,
yeah, it's easy to forget because you stop paying that bill through your personal and you're just like, what's
right.
happening? Yeah.
Right. Exactly. You know, I mean, I wrote off, I had a business vehicle and gas and cell phone, right. Like all the stuff that you're using for business that also, you know, you tend to use for a little bit for your personal use as well. Like you got to factor in that stuff, you know?
No. So, yeah. And I was never able to do that, you know, prior when as a W-2.
Right. Exactly. So you're saving yourself a tremendous amount of money just from a tax perspective. Right.
Also, for the record, I was never able on a W-2 able to max out my, you know, IRA either. So that's nice to be.
No. You'll never be able to do that. You'll never be able to max out your SEP IRA and all kinds of other things. You know, you're just never going to build the kind of wealth that you can build as a business owner, you know, versus being employed. There's just no way. You just can't. Right.
Yeah. You know? It's crazy how difficult it is to, you know, make it.
Yeah. To get ahead as an employed person. I completely agree.
Yeah.
So anyway, so you're doing pretty good. You got a good bunch of good stuff going on here. So with that said, what's your most profitable service right now?
I'm sure you could guess. It's definitely weight management.
Yeah. Weight loss. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm hoping that the hormones, the pellets kind of replicate that.
Sure. I'm sure it will. I mean, if you're going to be the only person in town doing hormone replacement therapy, I mean, that's going to definitely, you know, increase your margins.
Yeah. And a lot of my patients already have it. And so they're like, once they found out that we were doing it, they were like, oh, okay, I'll get my notes. You know, they're ready. They don't want to drive. The people in this area, if they don't have to go somewhere, they're not going. They're from here. They like it here.
Yeah. It's a convenience thing, right? I mean, would you want to?
No. I mean, the longer I've lived in a small town, the less and less I want to drive on the interstate.
Right. You're damn right. Same here. I hate it.
I'm like, oh my God, how do you merge? What do we do?
Yeah. Right. I mean, I live in a moderate sized city of, you know, 100,000 to 125,000 people. And it's like, anytime I go to somewhere bigger of a million, I'm like, screw it. I can't live somewhere like this.
Totally
agree with you. Yeah. I don't know. I don't understand how people can live like me. We're around that many people.
When I was 20, it was more fun, but nowadays.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Yeah. Yeah. As a 22-year-old who likes to drink and party, it was great, you know, yeah. But yeah,
for sure.
Anyways, though. Okay, cool deal. So what are you needing help with specifically here? You're trying to get out of being in your business, right?
Yeah. So obviously I know that takes time. I told myself I'll give myself 3 to 5 years. And if I'm still miserable and a slave, I'll sell it or close it. Cause I don't want to be miserable. That's the goal, right? So, my biggest question for you, in regards to growing and hiring on a nurse practitioner, I know we talk a lot about, I say we because I listen to you and talk to you all the time. So we have a 1099 versus a W-2, right? And so when I spoke with my CPA, he said 1099 is probably not going to work because I'm supplying all this stuff. Like, they're just going to practice here. And because I want somebody to be here 2 days a week, that he recommended that I should do a W-2, which makes me want to pay him or her hourly, not commission-based, like you have your practice set up. And honestly, because of my variety of services, it makes it really hard to do so too. I tried to play with it thinking, okay, well, I'll just do this, 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 and this for the weight management and the HRT and stuff and have them get, you know, 100 or, you know, 50 for the follow-ups and things like that. And then a percentage of the DPC memberships that they bring on. But then I'm like, well, that's going to be an administrative nightmare. Like, I'm going to have to look at the calendar all the time. And you know what I mean? Like, I'm trying to find ways to make my life easier, not harder. But I don't know if I'm making the right decision by doing that. It sounds like it'll be cheaper if I pay them hourly and then do a commission with the DPC still, a lesser rate, of course. So I don't know. I'm just kind of curious about all that and like what you would probably do if you were in my situation or what other nurse practitioner, entrepreneur, you know, that you have consulted, that kind of thing. I know there's not a lot of, you did have that really nice episode recently with the DPC guy, which was really, it came right on time for me. So that kind of thing, like, what would you do there?
Well, I mean, I'm not an accountant, okay? Like, I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a CPA, but I talk to a lot of lawyers and CPAs, mm-hmm. you know, and a lot of business owners. And you can justify paying a nurse practitioner who makes their own schedule as a 1099, okay? Right. You can justify that. So it's really up to you if you want to go down that route. I mean, it will save you, you know, 15%. Right. It's going to save them some money. It's going to save you some money. So, you know, that's really up to you. I think you can justify 1099. Okay.
I think so too. Honestly, his big thing was like, you know, being adhering to like the schedule and stuff. And I'm like, well, her, we're going to agree on what days are going to be here and they can pick their hours. It's the days I care about, you know?
Yeah, no.
So that I can plan around that. So I'm okay with it either way too. My biggest hurdle was like hourly versus commission based.
Yeah.
For my practice.
Okay.
Because I want them to see everything. They won't be an injector. Like, they won't be doing tox or filler or anything like that until that's like way down the line stuff. You know, that's somebody who wants to really be here for the long run before I'm doing any training or anything on that. But for the most, for everything else, I want them to see all the same patients I see, especially the ones that are here all the time, the weight management and the hormone and the DPC, right?
Right. So if they are making their own schedule, okay, they can be a 1099. So we'll just leave it at that. All right.
Okay. Got it.
Yeah. So let's just leave it at that. So, I don't know. I like production. When you pay someone hourly, you know, they could just be sitting there with no one scheduled, right. You know, right. it's more of a risk, to the business owner because, you know, this person's not being paid $15 an hour. You know, this person's being paid 75.
Yeah.
And yeah, so it could really eat into your margins very, very fast. So
calendar's empty. Yeah.
Yeah. I would stick to production. You know, that's what incentivizes someone to work.
Yeah.
Okay. When they're paid hourly, they don't really give a shit or not if they're seeing patients.
Right. No, you're right. And you know, I do want them to be, I want them to have a little bit of skin in the game, you know, to help grow and all that. And you're going to get paid more, you know?
Absolutely. You know, I mean, if they're seeing patients and doing well, you're doing well, you know?
Right. Exactly.
Right. So I would highly advise that you, I would highly advise that you pay them on a production based salary or, you know.
When you interview people, do you run into a lot of people, you know, like sticking their nose up at production based, you know, salaries?
Never. Not once.
Yeah. I'm trying to put myself in that situation. I'm like, I don't know what I would have done. You know, I'm a different person now as a business owner for sure. You know, but before I was always looking for that guaranteed check to know what it would be, you know?
Yeah.
That depends the way you grow up and that kind of thing. But
yeah, so I've never had an issue with it. Okay. So don't worry about it. And listen, you're the business owner. What you say goes.
Right. Yeah.
You know,
what about your workflow? Like, I mean, I'm sure you've delegated this off by now, but you know, I mean, looking at the, like, I try and think about like, okay, well, I'm going to manage their calendar, obviously, to see how many patients they've seen and which one's canceled and which one's no showed or, you know, whatnot. It just seems like a nightmare, like going through that to make sure I'm paying them the right way.
Yeah,
I'm a spreadsheet girl though. I mean, I could work it out, but it just, you really don't. Am I overthinking it?
Yeah, it's really not that big of a deal. I mean, yeah, just at the end of the month, you look at the schedule, you see what patients they saw, you add it up, and you pay them.
Right, right. You know, no, like, for sure. Like, it just it
takes
know.
15
and I, it's
minutes.
It's probably because I'm just so overwhelmed with everything right now that I just like, oh, another thing to do. But if I can have somebody seeing more patients, I'd have less things to do.
Yeah, exactly. It takes you 15 minutes. And how much time that person save you? Right. Hours and hours.
No, for sure. And the goal would be bring them on just 2 days, 3 days a week, and then eventually 4 days. We're only open 4 days a week. So
yeah. So I wouldn't worry too much about the workflow part of it.
All right. So I'll run the numbers on that then and see how it shakes out then. Because that was my biggest hurdle right there. I was like, I don't know if I should do hourly or not. Because I know there's the savings, of course, with the taxes and whatnot, but yeah, so we actually are going to start interviewing next week, so it'll be perfect timing for this. So
good. Now, have you considered? So stick to a production based model, okay? As long as they're reaching close to $100 an hour on average, then that's about what you want to shoot for, okay? I mean, I've mentioned this before in other podcasts multiple times. You know, I pay my providers $100 for new patients, $50 for follow ups. That's what I pay mine. It works. Right. It's simple. You know, they work 4 or 5 hours a week and they make an extra $2,000 or $3,000 a month. Like, it's good side money for them, you know?
Yeah,
right.
Sure.
Yeah. I mean, they're not going to make that anywhere else, you know?
No,
what I mean?
For sure.
Right.
You know, it's difficult. No, like our going rates here are garbage. Unless you're in acute care, you like, it's just like, you're just not making any money. And even then you're underpaid.
Yeah. I mean, wow. How much is the ER paying hourly a year in your town, in your area?
85.
I mean, it's not bad money, right? But you work your ass off.
No, but it's still, yeah, you're bussing it and you think you're a slave, you know, like your schedule will change at the drop of a dime, effective immediately, you know, like we're not a 12-hour shift, you know?
Right. Exactly.
Or that kind of thing. You have no control.
You have no control. And if you work a 12-hour shift, you make $1,000 versus they can come work for you and work 12 hours for almost the entire month and make $2,000. Like, it's a no-brainer. Right.
You exactly.
Know? Yeah. So most nurse practitioners that you will interview will be all about it. Okay.
Okay.
So, yeah. So don't worry about that. Now, malpractice is another consideration that you're going to need to, you're going to need to make. You know, with malpractice, do you pay for it? Do they pay for it? I typically will just reimburse my providers for their malpractice policy.
Okay.
Yeah. That's typically what I do. So what I'll do is I'll be like, listen, just buy a policy through CMNF Group, for example. Make sure that my LLC, my business, is named as an endorsement on it. That way, if they get sued, you're going to be covered as a business owner. Okay, your LLC will be covered. Okay.
Okay.
So if you do that, and then just have them, you know, pay for it through CMNF Group, for example, I just reimburse them for it. And the great thing is that these providers are going to be very part time. They're going to be working, you know, typically 10 hours or less a week for you. Mm-hmm. Okay. So therefore they get that part-time malpractice policy discount with CMNF Group. So it's like $800 for the year.
Oh, that's good.
You know, in my state anyways. I mean, other states are gonna differ, right? So it's fairly affordable and I just reimburse them directly for it. You can get a big group policy if you want to cover the entire practice, to cover the entire business if you want to, but those tend to be a little bit more expensive. And
yeah, I'm shopping around right now because I just did my renewal. And I mean, it's just crazy how expensive it is. I actually reached out to that new vendor that you posted, WM something or other.
Yeah, Wellness Medical Protection Group's pretty good. I mean, they are a broker. So they will find you the policy that works for you, and they're going to make sure that you're being covered for what you're doing.
Yeah, which is that's important to me too. You know, kiss my own ass goodbye.
That's the most important thing. You know, are you covered or not for what you're doing? Like for my malpractice policy, I can't do aesthetics. I can't. Right. If I say I'm going to do an aesthetics, they drop me immediately. And they just don't provide aesthetics coverage. They just don't. You know what I mean?
Yeah, mine increased, of course, when I added that, for sure.
Right. So you got to make sure you're being covered for what it is that you're doing, okay? Because if you're not, then what the hell's the point?
Right. No, 100%.
Right. So anyways, though, yeah, so just make sure that they have a policy. You know, CM&F group should cover, you know, for most things that you're doing. Mm-hmm. And so you can just do that, just reimburse. That's what I would do. But get a quote through Wellness Medical Protection Group. See what they quote you at. You know, sometimes it actually might be cheaper to get a group policy versus, you know, reimbursing people. So, you know, you're only hiring one provider now, but I can guarantee you in a year, you'll probably be hiring another.
Yeah, my goal was to hire one for 2 days a week. That freed me up temporarily. And then when they were full, I would start seeing, you know, I'd have to fill the gap again, right? And then grid them to 4 days. And then once we're both busy again, hire another one and then pull away, hopefully, a lot more and not come back.
Right. So your goal your goal should be three providers minimum at some point in the next 2 years.
And full-time or just like here working?
No, just part-time people. Have multiple part-time providers there. If you have one person that runs the show, you are dependent on that one person.
Right. Okay?
Screw that. You don't want to be in that kind of situation. And then they have the power. Okay. You don't want to be in that situation. Okay. You can tell.
Yeah. I had to hire like a nutritionist, health coach type employee to help with the weight loss follow ups, you know, like, cause I couldn't grow because I was spending so much time. My calendar was booked out I was booking like 6 weeks in advance for a new patient because I had all these patients sitting here with monthly follow ups, you know?
Right.
So I instead of hiring a provider then, because I wasn't really ready, I just hired a health coach to do the monthly check-ins and see how they're doing, that kind of thing, to keep them accountable, get their refills while they're here, that kind of thing.
Sure. Yeah. That's a good thing, right? You can do that.
Yeah. It worked out great.
So just make sure that whoever you're hiring, you know, kind of keep them in more of a part-time, keep them on a part-time basis. And then, you know, that way you can have three of them or so. And then that way, if one leaves, you're not scrambling.
Okay. Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah. But for right now, if it's just you and another nurse practitioner, if that other nurse practitioner leaves, you're scrambling.
Right. Instead of being like, oh, okay, you pick up more hours, that kind of thing. That's so smart. I didn't think about that.
Yeah. So make sure that, you know, be thinking about that. Hire someone, get your feet wet, get the confidence that, okay, you know, this other person's seeing patients, they're doing a good job. People, you know, they don't mind seeing them versus you, blah, 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 blah. After about 6 months, you'll get, you know, you'll gain that confidence and you'll be like, okay, there was really nothing to worry about here. I'm going to hire another one now.
Right. Okay.
Okay. Yeah. And if you're paying them production only, like I said, there's no risk.
Right. Yeah. Cause you're only paying them when they're making money.
Exactly. So there's no risk for you. Right. So, yeah. So any other questions about hiring someone?
No, I don't think so. The receptionist is a shoo-in. I mean, that's super easy to do. I've done it, I feel like, a million times now. So yeah, that was my big one. So, and I feel better about it just kind of talking with another business owner. You know, I don't have any colleagues that own businesses, so it's not in healthcare at least. So it's just like, what do I do? Am I doing the right thing? So.
Well, more and more of us are. So.
Yeah, no, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So that's that. So in terms of growth or anything, I know that, right before the call, you know, we just talked for a minute or two. You were kind of talking about some anxieties about growth and maybe spiraling out of control. Like, yeah, what do you mean?
You know, I think, you know, like I said a million times already, I've listened to a lot, and I think women in particular, we struggle with this a little bit more than our counterparts, but I always just feel like the wolf is out the door, you know, like it's going to fall apart tomorrow and this was all for nothing. And what was the point? You know, like it's especially because you're just so immersed in it in the beginning. You're just spending all your time worrying about the to-do list is never done. Letting go of that is a little bit of a learning curve. I mean, I've definitely improved. The more money we've made, that's always helped. You're like, oh, okay, it is doing, you know, like the numbers don't lie, right? And right. So it's hard, you know, I've got, you know, kids at home, a husband who's really, really helpful. Like I don't have to fix anything here at all and that kind of thing. And he's really supportive, but it's just a lot, you know, I definitely underestimated it. I was a highly productive nurse practitioner in any setting I've ever worked at, highly adaptable, kind of thought, oh, I'll be good at this. And I'm super organized. I love budgeting and money and, you know, all those things. So I was like, oh, it'll be easy. Like this is what I was made for. And then I jump into it and I'm like, fuck. You know, what have I done? Like I there's days, you know, that I go home and I'm in tears thinking like, damn, I do nothing to be an employee again. Like I want to clock in and clock out and be done. And those are fleeting thoughts, of course, because then I want to see what's at the other side of this. You know, I want that freedom. So right. It's just hard. That's the hardest part.
So listen, this is a completely normal emotion, first and foremost. Yeah. Okay. Listen, I still have those kinds of fears. Like, is this actually still going to be profitable? Is this still going to be something that's going to be relevant 12 right. months from now? Okay. Sure. Yeah. I mean, I think about that for every business I have. Okay. Right. Like, am I still going to be doing this well a year from now, 2 years from now, 5 years from now, you know, 2 months from now? Right.
Right.
You know, you're always thinking about these what if situations. Well, what if semaglutide, for example, gets taken right. off of the shortage list? Oh, no. What am I going to do? Or, yeah. you know, what if I get sued? Or, you know, what if?
Yeah, for sure. And diversifying, of course, helps. And, like, you know, the worst thing can happen is what? We get another job, we start over again. You know, that's, like, really, like, it's not, I'm going to have a job.
Right. You know, that's
kind
right.
of irrational.
That's, yeah, it's irrational. That's the worst case scenario is that you yeah. have to close the shop and you go get a job again, making $130,000 a year or whatever, you know, like that's yeah. the worst case scenario. Like, do you realize that for most business owners in this country, if they have to shut their business down, they are shit out of luck.
Right. Like they're getting where else do they go?
Where yeah. else do they go? They're getting a job at Walmart. You know right. what I mean? Yeah. Like they're not educated. Yeah. They don't have a skill set or something.
Sure. Yeah. Having like a true licensed position and, you know, the education behind you definitely changes things. The security is there for sure.
The security is there. Right. And then
you have to remind yourself of that a little too often.
You do. Yeah. Yeah. And then you also have to be thinking about some other diversifiers as well. You know, how do I limit my risks? How do I limit my, how do I limit my need for the business? And by that, I mean, how do I become more independent even from my own business and from my
right.
own
finances?
Right.
That's funny. I had that written down. Like, how do I remove myself from this? Because that's the one thing is like people come to see me at this point. I don't want them to come to see me. I want them to come see my vision.
Right.
And the people, you know, and so that's I'm slowly starting to put some more boundaries in my schedule. I've locked down a little bit more. And then in terms of asset protection, regarding, I don't have many assets right now, but regarding the business structure. So I know that a lot of people have like a holding company that'll hold their business. Of course, I just started with the traditional LLC. I'm going to go S-Corp in January. But like, I'd like to, I know that you're not a lawyer by what it means, but in order to restructure that, like, would you recommend that I get a parent LLC that buys? I don't like, how do I even put what I have now underneath something else? It seems like this is the top, right? Like, how do I?
Super simple. You just form another LLC and then literally in your operating agreement for the LLC that you have now, you literally just, you just change the member to the LLC and you sign off on it. It's literally it.
Oh,
there's nothing complicated to it. There's nothing complicated about it.
Yeah. Okay. And yeah. then it's okay. Cause I did do some, a DBA of sort of thought process on that. And then I realized like, no, I don't want to just DBA everything. I want to protect all service lines.
Right. Yeah. So yeah, you know, the LLC should protect you, you know, you could have an operating company, this kind of stuff, but you know, Yeah, you want to get yourself out of the business. That's, you know, that's part of what I meant there. The other part that I meant about being independent of your business is that you're independent from the cash flow that the business provides you. Sure, that, you know, you're you're hiring other providers, you know, to start seeing patients for you. You know, you're getting out of the business as the provider, okay? But as the business owner, how do you make yourself, you know, how do you basically build a financial fortress to where if that business closes down, you're not scrambling and freaking out? Or if you get sued, you're not scrambling and freaking out, okay? You have to figure out a way to become a little bit more independent from even your business. Because if you have all your eggs in one business, that business closes, you're screwed still. Right. You're still living paycheck to paycheck from your business.
Yeah, right. It's definitely a goal. It definitely takes, you know, a lot of income to do that.
And it does.
It's definitely on my plan. I just, you know, and so I may need your help with them.
You're on the.
I think that was that article that I was looking for. I finally found right after I sent you the dang email about how to like do that, because like you end up with all this money and I'm like, well, I don't want to just take it all home. I want to put it somewhere to start growing, like towards protecting myself and creating other lines of, you know, passivity and those type of things, so that I can not worry as much, for sure. And I think that would help. And it's like, where do you start? Did you start with like real estate, or did you start with just like, answer that for me. Where did you start with that? Like, what was your first line of defense?
The emergency fund, first and foremost.
Sure.
Right. You know, having 6 months in the bank of living expenses. Right. Mm-hmm. And then that went up to 12 months. You know, now it's 5 years.
Right.
Like, I have 5 years of living expenses sitting in like a high yield, you know, CD.
Yeah, that's awesome.
You know what I mean? Like, shit can totally hit the fan and I'm good for 5 years.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not talking about living as a, you know, as a bum either here. I'm talking about $100,000 a year. Like, I'm still living pretty comfortably. Right.
Yeah.
Right. So, you know, that takes time. That didn't happen in a year. Okay. That's
sure.
That took 6-7 years to build up.
Right. Just slowly get your small one, get your 6 months.
Right. Exactly. You start putting a little bit more into it. Right. You put a little bit more into it while you're putting money elsewhere too. Okay. So you have to, you know, so I started with the emergency fund. Okay. That's your base. That's your foundation. Right. That's your little mini FU fund.
Yeah.
Right. Right. Yeah. And then at that point, you know, you start putting your money into investments that make sense for the current time. Right now, real estate just doesn't make sense. I don't give a shit about what anyone says. It doesn't make sense. Okay. Right. You know, we record this September 2023. Interest rates are 7-8%.
Are they
7-8% for an investment property? 8%. Okay. If you want to get a commercial loan, I've done that before. I've gotten commercial loans for properties before. You know, a couple of years ago, I could get those for 4%. They're 10% now, right? So, right. Interest
rates. Not to mention the price of homes are, you
and
know,
then, related to. Right. And then the price of the properties, right? It doesn't make sense. You're not going to make money. You will lose money. Like, you buy a $200,000 house now, it's a shithole.
Oh my gosh, I know. We found, you know, we're looking, you know, you get alerts. Adults are always looking at real estate for no reason. And it was like a trailer, like an old meth lab for 180. And I'm like, wow. And it's like dilapidated. Like, you have to like demolish it. You can't even live in it.
Right, right. And if you want like a duplex, $400,000, $500,000, like,
yeah,
it doesn't make any sense. It just doesn't. You can't make the numbers work. You don't get a return. If you do get a return, it's like 1%, some bullshit like that. You can make more money in a savings account. You know, right. Like, it just, yeah. So with that said, I would not recommend real estate right now until stuff settles down a little bit. Okay. Yeah. So that's going to be years from now. So you might as well just kind of just put it on the side burner unless a really good deal happens. Okay. Right.
And usually again, in real estate, I mean, you're looking at a couple, you know, $20,000-$40,000 really, right?
To put down.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you want to put 20% down so you can get rid of the PMI.
Right.
So, I mean, a $400,000 duplex, you're putting 20% down, you're putting 80 grand.
Yeah. That's crazy.
For a 1% return. That don't make no damn sense, you know? So yeah, I would just put that on the side burner. So, you know, I started 5-6 years ago when it made a little bit more sense, right? I haven't bought rental real estate in almost 2 years now. It just doesn't make any sense, all right? So with that said, then you go to the next thing, right? And so you want to start putting your money into something that protects your money, but allows it to grow. And so, you know, obviously you have equities, you know, you have stocks and, you know, index funds, you know, you got bonds. Bonds right now are, you know, they have a very attractive interest rate as well. The stock market right now is, you know, it's very volatile. I haven't really made a whole lot in the stock market in the last year and a half because it just goes up, it goes down, it goes up, it goes down. You know, I'm
kind of there.
It's just, I'm kind of just breaking even, you know, but the dividends and the interest that those investments pay me, I'm actually quite ahead. You know, I'm 5-6% ahead, actually. Yeah. So what my recommendation for you is to build up that emergency fund. Okay. Try to get 12 months if you can. If you have 12 months of living expenses in the bank, it reduces your anxiety significantly. And then just start putting your money away into some bonds, into some CDs, and just a very basic equity portfolio post-tax. Okay. Just put in a few, you know, total stock market index fund kind of things. All right. And just slowly start building that up. Before you know it, your brokerage account will hit $100,000. Before you know it, it'll hit 200. Before you know it, it'll hit 500,000. Before you know it, it'll hit 1 million. All right. Mm-hmm. It's going to take a couple of years to get there, though.
Of course. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's going to make you a financial fortress. That's going to provide you that FU money. It's going to put you in that position of FU. You know, I don't need this regulation. I don't need this horse shit anymore in my life. You can step away.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
But that's going to take 5 years to get there. Okay. Unless, you know, you get this 1,000 bio T patients, you start growing even more. You know, I know some nurse practitioners out there that are making almost close to $1 million a year in profit.
Yeah, that's wild.
What do you do at that point?
We could dream, right? I'm ready for it.
Yeah, it's not a dream. It's a reality. Like, it can happen.
Let me find out.
Yeah, it can happen. Okay. So, yeah. I mean, I know multiple people that make that kind of money. All right. The thing is, you just stay living the same way you're living now.
Right.
Don't go buy a $200,000 sports car and a $3 million home. If you do that, you're just, you're still a slave.
I have no desire to do that. Like, I can't wait to pay off. We refinance our home for 15 years in COVID and we're ready to just be done with everything.
Right. Pay it off, pay your debts off, continue living below your means. And then that money that you're making, you put in the market, you put in some bonds, you let it grow. And before you know it, you're a multimillionaire. Okay. It's some hustle. How old are you?
34.
34 years old. Okay. Well, I'll tell you what, you're doing a lot better than I was doing at 34 years old. So congratulations.
Thanks.
Yeah. You're doing good. Okay.
It's so hard. You're just like, okay, day by day. So I'm excited about it. I'm glad I did it. I don't regret it. There's some days that are really difficult for sure.
It is. It is.
But I want everybody to do it. I want the big healthcare systems and the big, you know, all of that crap. I want to shrivel up and start dying off.
Right.
These, I mean, patients just get better care, you know, like providers are happier, patients are happier, outcomes are better. Like that's what it should be about. And then, it's nice to be able to sit down and not hate your patient because you're not rushing through everything and you just don't care anymore.
100%. Exactly. Get the middle finger to the healthcare administrator, making $250,000 a year, sitting on their ass doing like, what do you do exactly?
Right.
I'm curious. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And they're like, hey, you need to stop the clock on this or whatever, you know?
Right.
Our time.
Yeah, I know. Well, anyways, though, you know, I think that if you do that, it'll help kind of get rid of those negative thoughts, you know, and and just don't be too hard on yourself about it. So,
thank you. Yeah, I'm going to work on that for sure.
So. Yeah. It'll come. All right. It takes a couple of years to, you know, kind of grow a little bit more out of that and to just become a little bit more okay being in the, you know, in the shoes of an entrepreneur.
Yeah, as you just get comfortable with it.
Exactly. So
I sometimes relate it to just being like a new parent, you know, like if I was like, this thing is breastfeeding and I need to get out of here, you know, like instead of, you know, like, oh, it's in daycare now, it's better. Or, you know, you're like
right.
A parent versus like, oh, they're 15 now. They're kind of walking on their own, doing on their own thing. They drive themselves to school.
Right. It just gets better and better. Right.
Yeah.
Should anyways.
Should. Yeah. Right. For sure.
Well, any other questions, anything else you want to talk about?
No, I don't think so. It's been super helpful just kind of running everything through. So sure. I appreciate your opinions for sure.
Absolutely. It was a pleasure to help. I'd like to end the episode with you asking me a question. Do you have any questions for me? Personal question, curiosities, anything like that?
Yeah, I think personally, after, you know, this conversation we've had, I mean, where's your next step from here? Like, what is your next goal? I mean, you've got your savings account, you got your little boy and your family. I mean, you've got your businesses going. So like, you just sit back, chill, relax, or do you have like big dreams?
You know, it's hard to really pinpoint that down. I mean, I'm in a position where, you know, in the last 6 years, I mean, I have hustled my ass off.
Right.
You know, I paid all my debts off. I mean, my mortgage is paid off. I mean, I paid all my debts. You know, I've saved a lot of money. I've invested some money. I've won a few things. Some investments have really done well. Some other ones have not. But yeah, I mean, I'm approaching that position of FU. You know, I'm approaching that financial independence, financial freedom kind of.
That's great. It's great to have that option. I think a lot of us out here, you know, striving to get there. And
It's possible. Listen, I mean, I'm a nurse practitioner, just like you are, just like any other nurse practitioner listening to this. I'm not all that special. All I did was...
No, I believe it 100%, especially all the other people that you've seen that even have probably, you know, gone on to even do better than you have so far with like other clinics and, you know, those kind of things. It's fascinating, really.
Yeah. There are other nurse practitioners who took my courses, consulted with me or whatever, and they're doing better than me now. I'm like, well, damn, like, you were just... right place, the right time, you know, and sprinkle some luck on it. You know?
I bet that feels really good though. You know,
I mean, hell
you've done a lot for, you know, our profession. So
it feels great. So, so I guess next step for me is just, I'm figuring out how to be a little bit more in the moment, how to enjoy actually being in the present and not thinking so much about an outcome in the future. Mm-hmm. Right. Like I'm trying to be more present. I'm trying to be more process focused than outcome focused. Like this is where I want to be 2 years from now. This is my goal 1 year from now. This is what I want. You know, this is what I want my son to be doing a year from now. Like I'm trying to be a little bit more in the moment because what I'm finding is that the older that I'm getting, I mean, I'm 39 years old. I mean, I'm still fairly young, you know, but the older that I get, the more I'm finding is that happiness comes from being in the moment. And enjoying where you're at in the present time, because that's the only thing that's guaranteed to you right now is the present. So I'm trying to find that inner, you know, I'm trying to find that peace, I suppose, to be happy in the moment versus always being so outcome dependent. Does that make sense?
No, 100%. We talk about this when I say my husband and I a lot, because I'm just like, I'm always ready for the next dang goal. I've been chasing goals my whole life. First, if it was like, get out of poverty, get a house, stop living in your minivan with your infant, you know, do this, do that, do, you know, become a nurse, get your BSN, get your master's, go do this. And it's always just been like, hurry up, get to there and then be happy. But you get there and then you're like,
I'm not happy still. you're not any happier.
Yeah, and it's really right. About that Atomic Habits book really goes into that a lot. So it's really interesting to hear, you know, all people from all walks of life and all situations feel that way. And over the last couple of years, I think it's gotten worse because, I mean, our phones and, you know, social media, and like, we're always so driven and pushed and pulled in all these directions. And it's like, can we just
you know, chill? Right.
So I agree with that 100%. It's also something I'm after too. It's difficult. I've like put my phone on lockdown, like alarm fatigue, notification fatigue. Yeah, 7 o'clock, that thing doesn't make a noise. I can't see anything. I'm not allowed to touch any app. Thank God for technology, because I think we all have an addiction.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, I mean, my wife talked about that too. Like after 8 o'clock, those phones go off. Shut that damn thing off.
Yeah, we
shut it off.
Yeah, or the kitchen. We have like a hub now. It's like everybody put your phones down and talk to each other.
Right, exactly. Be in the moment. Right. So anyways, well, listen, it was a pleasure talking with you. I hope this helped.
Likewise.
And, you know, if you have any other questions or whatever, shoot me an email. I'd like to do a follow-up.
Yeah, for sure. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. I'm glad your customers finally got to the line.
Yep, cool deal. All right, take care. All right, I hope everyone enjoyed the episode with Nicole. very important episode here. You know, she started about a year ago, and I mean, $70,000 in revenue. Like, it's pretty impressive. She's going to do very, very well. And when she gets these 1,000 pellet patients, I mean, she's going to really blow up. She will have $1 million practice in 12 to 16 months. I'm pretty confident about it. And so, you know, this is a thing. You have to realize that you're probably going to be a slave to your business. You're going to be dependent on your business for a little while. It just is what it is. Okay. You are the product. You are the provider. People are coming to see you. Okay. So you're going to be a slave to your business at some point as it grows. You're going to work in your business. You're going to be employed by your business. The only way to mitigate that is when you start, you hire another provider, start seeing patients for you right from the get-go. That might not be realistic for most of you because, you know, you don't have $50,000, $60,000 sitting around to pay someone, right? So you have to realize this, okay? Be thinking to yourself during the first year or two of your business, you know, when you start feeling like you're becoming a slave to your business and that you're just working your ass off for your own business, when these thoughts start coming and you're starting experiencing this fatigue, it's time to hire someone else to begin seeing patients for you so you no longer become a slave to your business and you're no longer so dependent on it, okay? And also diversify your investments, diversify your income streams. Don't rely on just your business. That's foolish. Have money elsewhere that you can always lean back on. All right, hope everyone enjoyed this episode. Talk to you guys later. Thanks, bye. Thank you for listening to the show. Quick legal disclaimer. The content of this podcast is meant for informational and entertainment purposes only and should not be used as legal, financial, medical, regulatory, or practice-specific advice. For information pertaining to your specific legal, financial, medical, or practice-specific needs, please be sure to consult with your lawyer, CPA, medical director, and or your state's practice laws and the most up-to-date clinical guidelines. As always, do your due diligence when it comes to any information found online and in podcasts. The content in this podcast is copyrighted by Galaxy Medical Southwest 2023 and cannot be duplicated, rebroadcasted, or reproduced without our written permission.